Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Excellent. Now, it's been a real privilege for us to have the Hammonds with us these last few days. They, as well as pastoring a church in Florida, they travel all over the world, speaking in many conferences, and really seeing, God turning the church inside out, and really seeing a release all over in many, many nations of God moving and doing something fresh and new in the body of Christ all over the world. And it's been great for us to have this couple here with us. And it's been really encouraging. It's been very confirming. They've been speaking prophetically into our life as Kingdom Faith. And we don't just, they're pastors in their own situation, but we don't just receive them as pastors. We receive them as prophets, those who are bringing the word of the Lord, into our situation. And if we receive the prophets, we'll receive the prophets' reward also. What does that mean? It means that whatever they're flowing and whatever they release, then we see that same flow and release also. It's not just the reward in terms of pounds or money or anything like that. It's in terms of what they flow in, we receive the same reward as they do. So what they bring, and we're then kind of saying, yeah, we receive them in that way, we'll see the release of that in our own lives individually, but also us corporately as a body. So I want us to stand together, and we're going to welcome both of them and say thanks to both of them. Jane's going to be speaking, but let's welcome both of them as they just come up now.
Hallelujah. Yes. Isn't it fun serving Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, I got saved when I was very young, but I've been to 40 or 50 nations of the earth. I've seen my family and my kids serving the Lord all the days of their life and raising up, even in the anointing and God of the destiny that God has upon their lives as well. And it's such an exciting time in the kingdom of God. And, we've been so blessed to be able to get to know you and your leadership team here.
Yeah.
That's such quality and have such hearts of passion and purpose. You are such a blessed people to have leadership like that.
That's
just to
right.
Give them
a
hand of appreciation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And the students have just been awesome, and they gave us an awesome. They gave us a wonderful card, and all of them signed it, and just so appreciative. And we thank you already just for the things that you expressed to us. And how many know that God's going to get something done in this generation that he's been waiting for days and decades and generations that have gone before, that this is a season of fulfillment. And so I believe it's such an exciting time. My father is in ministry about 55 years, and I just so can see what's happening here in this house. It's so reminds me of the things that are taking place in our ministry as well. We brought some books and tapes, but we weren't able to bring very many with us. If you do need to want to check out some more of those, I think at ChristianInternational.org you can pick those up. But listen, I believe that this is a season that God's going to bring a breakthrough that only the Lord, the mighty man of war, can bring. And so just lift up your hands. Father,
thank you
for today. We thank you for the anointing that you're bringing to us. And we come in agreement for all that you want to release in Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Well, this is my Valentine. Give her a hand as she ministers to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Am I on? Okay. You can be seated. I want everybody, as you're being seated, I want you to say that word. I want you to say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Now I want you to turn to somebody and say, you're getting ready to get your breakthrough. Now turn to somebody else and say, as a matter of fact, you've already got your breakthrough. Because how many know Jesus is our breakthrough? Jesus is our breakthrough. Pastor Clive was talking about the prophet's reward. When you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward, which, as he said, is the activation of that thing in your life. Well, Jesus was the great prophet. Amen. And as we've received him, we receive that prophet's reward into our individual lives as well. And I just want to say this about the prophet's reward. We like to say this, is that the prophet's reward is not just about money. Now, how many of you have a situation in your life that it seems like money would solve? Okay, that's good, all right? But a prophet's reward goes beyond that. The prophet's reward is the miracle that you need that money cannot buy. How many of you need a miracle that money cannot buy? Father, we loose that prophet's reward right now. Father, we thank you that you are the God of miracles. And Lord, that you are the great prophet. And we release that prophet's reward upon your people that have received you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me give you the definition according to Webster's Dictionary of this word breakthrough. Okay? Those of you that are taking notes, I'll try to go slow. It's hard for me, but I'll try my best. All right? Breakthrough, according to Webster's, is a military movement or advance. A military movement or advance. How many understand that God is not just building the family of God, he is also building the army of God? So it is a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond the enemy's frontline defense. Now listen to those words. Say these words with me. Say through and beyond. Because I want you to get an understanding of what God has called us to do and be as the army of God. Amen. Because the church has been pretty good in past days about pressing into God and opening a wedge in the enemy's front line. And we've been pretty good at going through. We know how to fast. We know how to pray. We know how to get hold of the word of God. We know how to listen to God's voice to break through. But I believe that there's a shift that's taking place in the church right now where no longer are we going to be satisfied just to go through the enemy's front line defense. But we are going to go beyond. Because what's happened in days past is that we get this breakthrough and then we put our weapons down and stop and have a party. Woohoo, we've got victory. Breakthrough is a lot more than that. Amen? Going through and beyond the enemy's frontline defense. The best day that in history, in modern history, that I can think of that displays this word breakthrough is on D-Day in World War II. That was a day of breakthrough. It was a day of breaking through the enemy's frontline defense. It was a day that the troops established a beachhead. Right? Okay, but the beachhead wasn't the goal.
Right. Come on.
The beachhead was not the goal. What the goal was is that on that day that they established a beachhead, not one city was liberated. Not one village was set free. But what it did is it established a platform that then the army could move forward and begin to transform cities, villages, towns, and nations. Now, I want you to get that picture in your heart because God has called us to be people of breakthrough. Amen? God has called the church to establish a beachhead. And the beachhead might be a gathering of people like this. But the gathering is not the goal. The gathering is the point of mobilization from which we go out and start changing and liberating cities and towns and villages and nations. And pushing back the enemy to establish freedom. God has called us to be a people of breakthrough. The definition of breakthrough, a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond the enemy's frontline defense. It is any act or instance of overcoming any barrier, obstacle, or hindrance to progress. Come on, how many believe it's time to move forward? It is time for the church to move forward. It is time for the church to understand that, yes, we are called to be a family. And yes, that we are called to be full of love. But we are also to understand that we are an army. And we have a mission from our commander-in-chief who is sending us out and saying, your mission is to push back the gates of hell, to expand my kingdom, to extend my life. Jesus came and he said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So every place that you see death operating out there, or the emissaries of death, you need to understand that we are the anointed ones that are carrying the life of Jesus out there. That we carry the anointing of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to the darkness that is in the world. And that we carry that answer in us, and that because he is the breaker and he anoints us, that means we have a breakthrough anointing. Right. Amen. Now open your Bibles with me and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Because I want to show you an example of this and help to highlight some of the things that we are called to do and be during this season of time. This is a perhaps a familiar passage. But it begins with the story of Elijah passing a mantle to Elisha. And Elisha had been a businessman. He had been a wealthy businessman, and the call of God came on his life, and he cooked his oxen, he burned his bridges to the past, and he followed hard after Elijah. Following hard after God. You know, sometimes we can follow hard after God and follow hard after those that are following God. Right? Paul said, be an imitator, imitate me like I imitate Christ. Amen? And so he began to follow hard after Elijah. But then he started picking up on that prophetic anointing, and he started sensing that Elijah was getting ready to be taken away from him. And before he was taken away, Elijah turned to him and he said, what is it that you want from me before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha says to him, please let a double portion, you can read it right here in verse 9, it says, and so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. How many believe it's time to start asking God for some hard things? Amen? Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And so as they walked along, as the story goes, a chariot of fire came down from heaven and picked up Elisha. It picked up Elijah and carried him up into heaven. And standing on the ground was a man that had prepared his heart and was focused on what God was doing at that moment, who was prepared to receive this mantle. And standing on the ground was this man that saw Elijah beat death. Come on. In my Bible, I think there's two men in the Old Testament that beat death. One was Enoch. And it says he walked with God and was not. He just disappeared because he walked with God. God just caught him up. And the other one was Elijah. So standing on the ground was this man named Elisha. And that vision, watching him beat death, created in him a death-conquering faith. And as we know the story goes, he took up the mantle of Elijah. And he went back to the water and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he struck the waters, and the waters were parted this way and that way. And he walked over on dry ground. Now, on that day, Elisha received a fresh impartation from God that changed his life. Up until that point in his life, he had never done one miracle. But from that day forward, it was miracle after miracle after miracle. From that day forward, it was death conquering faith. From that day forward, it was changing cities and it was impacting communities. From that day forward, everything was different. How many believe when we receive an impartation from God, it can radically, dramatically change us? And I want to propose to you today that what we have received from Jesus Christ is so much more powerful than the double portion mantle of Elisha. Come on. What we have received, you see, because it's a very similar story in what happened when Jesus was taken up to heaven. Because when Jesus went up, his mantle came down in the form of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to his disciples, right before he was getting ready to be caught up to heaven in Acts chapter 1, he gathered his disciples together and he said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? He had promised that if he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit. He would send the Comforter. He would send the Paraclete, the one that walks alongside. He would send the Helper. He said, I have to go away so that I can send my Spirit to you. And he said, for you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll have the power to be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. That word power, Jesus said, you shall receive power. That word power is the Greek word dunamis, which literally means miracle working power. You shall receive miracle working power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, how many have already received the Holy Ghost? Amen. Sometimes we just got to recognize what it is that we've received. Amen. When we receive the Holy Spirit, you received the power to work miracles. So I want you to look at your hands. Say, hands. You are meant to be laid on the sick. And to see miracles accomplished. You may never have done a miracle before, but just like Elisha. But when you receive this fresh impartation, every time you come and meet with God, every time you're in the presence of the Lord, you can receive a fresh mantle of the Holy Spirit. Every time you come into the presence of God, you can receive something fresh from the Father. Because the God, Father wants to give you everything that you need to fulfill your life, your calling, your destiny, and His plan. Amen? Not only did we receive power, but we also received revelation. Because it says in Acts chapter 2, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. How many here qualify? And the result of that, it says, after he's poured out his Spirit, he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, and on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out my Spirit, and you will prophesy. Look at your neighbor and say, I will prophesy. Prophecy isn't always standing up on a platform and saying, thus saith the Lord. That's one form of prophecy. But anytime you begin to speak the heart, the will, the mind, the purposes of God to somebody, that is a prophetic release. And the prophetic word always brings life. Amen? Not only did you receive revelation, you received fire. Because Jesus said you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. How many want that fresh fire of the Holy Spirit? A fresh passion for the purposes of God coming out of you. Because you know what fire does? It burns up fear. Come on. Fire burns up walls. Fire begins to destroy those things that stand in our way. It begins to release that breakthrough. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it releases new faith, because it says when we pray in the Holy Ghost, that it stirs up our most holy faith. How many have been believing for a new level of faith? You know how faith gets activated? By facing something that's impossible. Some of you are going, oh, I get it. Okay. That's why everything's happening in my life. One more thing I want to mention is that when we receive the Holy Spirit, by no means a conclusive list, but when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the power of love. Because Romans 5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That means that it drives out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. It drives out rejection, abandonment, self-pity, low self-esteem, all these things that try to war against our mind and take us captive, the power of love has the capacity to drive it out. Amen? So we're going to pray today that you're going to receive that fresh impartation so that you can do the work that God has called you to do. Now, let's look at verse 19 in 2 Kings 2, because I want to show you that one of the first things that Elisha did after receiving this double portion mantle is that he went in and changed a city. He took of that anointing and he went in and changed a city. Do you know that Jesus loves cities? Jesus doesn't only love individuals. Jesus loves cities and Jesus loves nations. You actually see Jesus weeping over cities. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And then there were other times that he spoke to cities and said, woe unto you. Come on, Jesus had a heart for cities. You can't read the book of Acts and not understand that God sent his people in to begin to change cities. Come on, the book of Ephesians, as I said earlier, is one of my favorite books, because what it does is it talks about a city that was the center of that day for witchcraft and magic training, occult training, and it was the center of idolatrous worship of Diana or Artemis, and yet God chose that city to begin to invade by his spirit and to begin to turn the world upside down. Now, if you think your city's worse than Ephesus, I probably don't think so. Come on. One of the first things that he did is he went in and he changed the city. So let's look here in verse 19 of chapter 2. It says, then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. So once we receive this impartation from the Lord, what we need to do then is begin to activate the spirit of revelation so that we can begin to see our city as God sees it. Amen? Now you say, why does that really matter? Because again, God has a heart to see entire cities changed and aligned to the purposes of God. Jesus put his anointing on us, and he said in Matthew 10, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that right? Says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. It's our mission to give the life that has been given to us. But we need revelation sometimes in order to see our cities past the natural mind, past what it looks like on the outside, and to be able to see it the way God sees it. And to be able to identify at times the curses that are at work in our city so that we can take the curse-destroying anointing that God has placed in us and destroy the curse. Amen? Now, It's tempting to judge things after the natural mind. When Elisha, a couple chapters later in chapter 6, Elisha was in Israel and functioning in Israel, and there was war all around Israel. Syria was amassing armies against Israel and setting ambushments. And Elisha was praying, and every time Elisha prayed, God would show him the ambushment of the enemy, the trap of the enemy. And so rather than Israel falling into the trap of the enemy, Elisha would speak the prophetic word and say, you know, that's a trap. Don't fall into that trap. And he would prophesy and Israel would go another way. And so the Syrian king started getting really frustrated and he says, we have a spy in our midst. And one of his guys said, no, it's not a spy. It's that prophet, Elisha. Now, I find, we've pastored for the last 22 years, that a lot of energy is expended by people that are believers in getting themselves out of traps that they've fallen into. And we end up spending a lot of our energy being on the defensive rather than being on the offensive. And I believe that God wants to give us prophetic eyes so that we can see not only God's plan, but the enemy's plan, so that we stop falling in to those traps. So that we can spend all of our energy moving forward and taking cities. Amen? And so, in Elisha's day, the king said, well, if it's that prophet, then go get him. And so, the Syrian army came and surrounded Elisha at night, surrounded his little house. And when they got up in the morning, Elisha's servant looked out the window. And he said, he saw all the Syrian armies, and he ran back to Elisha, and he goes, oh my God, what are we going to do? And Elisha just responded real calmly. He said, don't worry. In Jamaica, they say, don't worry, be happy. He said, don't worry. There are more that are with us than are with them. And I know that Elisha's servant ran back to that window and went, he wasn't getting it. And so Elisha says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And it says, the Lord opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And it says, behold, and he looked and he saw that surrounding the armies of Syria were the armies of God, the chariots and the horsemen of God, the armies of heaven that were surrounding the enemy. Now understand this, there was a natural truth to their situation. And there may be a natural truth to your situation that you feel surrounded or that you feel like the enemy's got you. But let me declare to you that there are more that are with you than are with him. What we have to learn to do prophetically is look past the natural truth and see the supernatural truth. The supernatural truth, which always speaks God's purposes. Which always speaks something that you can't see in the natural. It calls the things that are not as though they are. Now, I want to tell you a story about a city that went through a radical transformation process. And this city was featured on a video that came out perhaps in the mid-90s. The video was called Transformations. Did anybody here see the Transformation videos? Okay. I'm going to talk. Those of you, raise your hand again that have seen it. Okay, because you're going to have to be my witnesses. Because I'm going to talk about Almolonga, Guatemala. Let's all say that 10 times real fast, okay? Almolonga, Guatemala. We've actually had teams that have gone down to Almolonga. But let me tell you the story about this city. Back in the 1970s, Almolonga was a little village of about 20,000 people up in the hill country of Guatemala. And this city was completely besieged by the spirit of poverty. It was an extremely impoverished city. They were an agricultural town. They, out of this 20,000 member village, they only sent one truck of produce out of the village each month. And when the money would come back in, most of the money was then spent in the variety of bars, because there were bars on every corner, and they were drinking away their profits. And as a result of that, there was a lot of crime. There was domestic violence. They had four jails in the city of Almolonga. 20,000 people, and they had four jails. And the jails were constantly overflowing, and they were having to bus prisoners to surrounding areas. Can you see? This is a dark and seemingly hopeless situation. But you know, I think that God looks for some of the darkest, some of the most hopeless seeming situations to say, I'm going to send my spirit into that place. Amen? And in the midst of that, there was a little church. Everybody say a little church. Just a few. I'm talking about just a few. We've met the pastors. They're extremely humble people. Just a few people. And they decided that they were going to begin to come together and pray for their city. Not only really praying for souls. How many know that souls are the vehicle that wins the city? But they were going to pray for their city because, you see, at the very root of the city, they worshiped a demonic spirit over this city. Throughout Guatemala, you can, if you're ever in Guatemala, you'll see this little figure. It's a little idol. Looks like a spirit of death. Looks like a skeleton. And his name is Moshimon. And they worshiped him. And it was a spirit of death. No wonder there was all this that was going on in their town. They worshiped a spirit of death. And so the pastor and a few intercessors began to pray. And they began to declare to this ruling spirit saying, you do not own this city. This city belongs to the Lord. And they started to intercede and they started to decree. And as they prayed and as they decreed, something began to shift in the heavens. Now, what ended up happening, and this isn't actually even on the transformation video, but we've learned this from knowing the pastors, is that what ended up happening one day is that this woman came in to the prayer meeting and she said, "Pastor, I need you to come pray for my husband." Well, her husband was known as being the most violent drunk in the city. And she told the pastor, she said, "He's on a violent rampage right now. He's breaking things. He's fighting people. And I need you to come lay hands on him." How many know that might take a little bit of faith? And so the pastor went. And when he went to their home, he began to pray. And he began to bind the demonic spirit that was controlling this man. How many understand we are called to cast out devils? And as he began to confront this man, out of this man, this voice spoke and said, "My name is Moshimon. You need to leave me alone." And the man said, "I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to let this man go." And the man was gloriously delivered. He got saved. And the word of it spread through the whole city. How many believe that we're in a time right now where God's going to take some of the hardest cases in your city? God's going to take some of the hardest cases and do notable miracles among them. And people are going to go, "Man, what happened to him?" And the word went out. And all of a sudden, more and more people started coming to the prayer meeting. Now let's skip forward 20 years to the mid-90s. Today and today, because this has been sustained. Today, Almolonga is a city, still continues to be about 20,000 people, but in the city of 20,000 people, over 19,000 of them are born again and spirit-filled. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you a fairy tale. I'm telling you something that is real, okay? All the jails have closed because where there's no crime, you don't need jails. There's no crime, okay? All the bars have been turned into churches. And one of the most remarkable things is that as God healed the city, he also healed the land. Because God came in and the people began to work the land according to the principles of Scripture. And the land that was only yielding poverty before, the land that was only yielding one truck of produce per month, now is sending 40 trucks per week of produce in Mercedes-Benz trucks that are paid for. And now this is where I need those that have seen the video to testify with me about what I'm going to say, because the produce is not only more abundant, but it's actually supernatural produce. Because the produce, things that used to take 16 weeks to harvest are now only taking 12. And they are, and it is supernatural produce. I'm talking about carrots the size of a man's arm. I do not lie to you. We had a team go down there last year. They brought back these carrots, and the carrots were about a foot long, and they were about this big, and they were apologetic. They said, "We're sorry, we only have little ones left to give you right now." Seriously. We brought it back, and everybody, we passed it around the church. I'm talking about heads of lettuce this big, cauliflower and broccoli heads this big. Wave your hand at me if you saw it on the video, because they actually have pictures of this, and it sustained. Man, man, if God can do that in Omalunga, what can he do in Horsham? But he's looking for somebody that'll say, God, we're going to do what we need to do in the spirit to take this city. God's heart right now is to take cities and everything that's in them. Amen? To take the people, to take the businesses, to begin to take the things and to begin to bring glory to the kingdom of God. Because people are beginning to understand their calling and their commissioning. Amen. I think we ought to give the Lord a hand for Omalunga. Amen. That is one example among many, many, many examples. We ourselves have watched God transform our local community to a place that was overrun by the spirit of witchcraft and poverty to becoming one of the most prospered areas in our territory. We're still looking for the harvest of souls. Amen. Sometimes you've got to shift things in the heaven before you actually see it shifting in the earth. Amen. And so as we see that Elisha approached the city and they said to him, you see the situation of the city is pleasant, but the ground is barren and the water is bad. The water is poisonous. In other words, it looks great. It looks like a beautiful place to live, but there's something in operation that is producing death. There is something that is in operation in the land that is producing death. And you see, what Elisha had to do is he had to look past the natural and see the root in the spirit. Because he understood that this city was actually the city of Jericho. Now, I remember the story of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, right? Well, back when that happened, Joshua actually released a decree. And he said this, he said, cursed is the man who rebuilds this city, for he will lay the foundation of the city with the blood of his oldest and set the gate with the blood of his youngest. And under the reign of Ahab, Jericho was rebuilt by a man named Hiel. And Hiel did exactly what Joshua said he would do. There was a pagan custom in that day that when you set the foundation stones of a city, that you took out and you gave a blood sacrifice. So Hiel, under the reign of Ahab, went out and slit his oldest son's throat and poured his blood into the foundation. And then when he set the gate of the city, he slit his younger son's throat and poured his blood in there. The city was under a curse. How many understand that the shedding of innocent blood releases a curse? And so Elisha understood that there was a curse that was operating, that even though everything looked good, there were some spiritual dynamics that needed to be uprooted.
That's right, right.
And whatever city you're living in, whatever town you're living in, it may look good, but we need to look beyond the natural into the supernatural to see what the barriers, the obstacles, and the hindrance to progress are so that we can root them out, tear them down, throw them down, destroy them so that we can build and plant. That's Jeremiah 1:10. Now, so look what Elisha does. I can't see it. I just started wearing glasses and I forget that I can't see. Okay. The situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. And he went out to the source of the water and cast the salt in there. Now let's just stop there. He brought a new bowl and he put salt in it. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, we see that there are actually bowls in heaven. And it says the bowls are filled with incense, which is the prayers of the saints. So the bowl actually represents that part that we play when we begin to pray, when we begin to intercede, when we get mobilized in mass to see change. And what did he do with this bowl? He put salt in it. Jesus said, you are the salt. You are the salt of the earth. And if we're going to see preservation, if we're going to see salvation come, it's going to be because God takes us out of just the four walls of our churches, and He begins to take us like that salt, and He begins to cast us into the places that the curses are operating. I said it this week that, you know, the church for a long time holed up in the four walls of the church. Jesus, please come back and save us from this, rescue us from this wicked world. That's never what Jesus intended. He said, occupy until I come. Right. Occupy. Occupy is a military term. Means take over. Means rule. Means take dominion. We're called to take dominion until Jesus returns. We're called to spread His kingdom until Jesus returns. So God wants to mobilize us. After He gives impartation, after He releases that anointing for revelation, He wants to release a mobilization.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah. I said it this week that statistically only 2% of the body of Christ is called to pulpit ministry. But everybody is called to ministry. You are a full-time member. You are a full-time minister of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The responsibility of the 2% is to train and equip the 98% to go out into the marketplace, to go out into business and government and media and arts and science and family and religion and all these mountains, all these kingdoms of this world, and bring change. In our church, we say whatever we do in the church, we need to translate it into taking it out of the church. If we lay hands on the sick and we release healing in the church, then we need to do it out there as well. If we're prophesying in the church, then we need to take it out there and prophesy as well. I do not recommend praying in tongues really loud for a long time in the middle of a supermarket. Somebody will probably come and lock you up, okay? But we can be God's ambassadors. We can be the ones that carry that anointing out there. Yeah. Amen? Now, we have a woman in our church that, her name's Jessica. And she ran a physical therapy business. Do you call physical therapy when somebody gets injured or somebody has stroke, helps them to get their body back? So she's a physical therapist.
Rehab
kind of thing. And she had a business of physical therapy. And so we said, we want you to take this anointing of healing now out during the week and find somebody to pray for. Well, Jessica's going, man, everybody that I see needs prayer. So in her business, she started praying for people. Before she'd treat them, she'd just say, you know what? I really believe in the power of God. Would you mind if I prayed for you? Real simple. Sometimes people said, no, I don't want you to pray. And she'd say, okay. But most of the time, people said yes. I don't know that I've ever had somebody say, don't pray for me. I don't think I've ever once been turned down. Maybe in the church, maybe I had somebody tell me no. But out in the world, I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me no, don't pray for me. So every day, she was praying for people. And so the next week, she comes running back in. And she's like, this works! She's like, I prayed for this man that had not stood up on his two feet for 15 years. She said, and when I prayed for him, he stood up out of his wheelchair. Amen? I'm not talking about a pastor or a prophet or an apostle. I'm talking about a saint that's been equipped. The next week, she came running back. She says, I've been working with this woman for years now. She says she's completely blind. And I've been doing physical therapy on her for some other issues. She said, and when I prayed for her, she says, I wish I could say that her eyes just popped open. She said, but instead of that, she says, all of a sudden she started seeing light and she started seeing shadows and she started seeing things very, very fuzzy. And I believe that she's a miracle in progress. After years, the woman had never seen anything. Suddenly she was starting to see. Week after week, she started coming in, giving us testimonies of people that she'd laid hands on and prayed for, and God had healed. Now, one Sunday, she comes up to us after the service, and she says to us, she says, Pastor Tom and Jane, you know, I'm really excited about what I see God doing. She says, but I just have one question. This is my business. And all my patients are getting healed. I mean, that's a pretty good problem to have. She ended up opening up two other physical therapy places because the reputation went out. And God used her in a powerful way to touch people right out of her marketplace, right out of her business, right out of the place that she was in the community. God used her to touch and transform people's lives. Amen? God is looking for a mobilization of His people to go out and to begin to reproduce what you see happening in here. Amen? As a matter of fact, we had a minister that came to our church, and he made this statement, and it really made me think. He says, you know, I challenge churches with this all the time. He said, I say to them, if your church was to suddenly disappear from the community, would anybody miss you? Because see, we're supposed to be making a difference. We're supposed to be touching our city. We're supposed to be looking for areas of need in our community and meeting those needs by the kingdom of God. Is that right? There's spiritual needs, but sometimes we have to meet a natural need. Isn't that what Jesus said about clothing clothing the poor and feeding the hungry? Sometimes we've got to meet a natural need in order for them to open up their heart. This tea room ministry, love it. Tea dance. Love it. You're meeting a natural social need and providing an opportunity for people to hear. Now, let me tell you about somebody from your country that did this and made a difference. A man named John Cadbury. What's he famous for? Chocolate. How many are really excited that we're going to talk about chocolate? I'm really excited. Do you know where this comes from? Do y'all know the story of John Cadbury? John Cadbury was a young man. He was raised as a Quaker. As a Quaker, he wasn't allowed to go to any of the universities of the land because the Quakers were a separate people and they didn't want to come under the religious system of the land. Also, as a Quaker, they were pacifists, so he couldn't join the army, couldn't join the military. And so, instead, the Quakers became very entrepreneurial and started businesses. And so, as a young man at 22, up in the Birmingham region, he looked around and he saw a need in his community, and he saw tremendous poverty, horrific living conditions, and he noticed that that tied to this was a lot of public drunkenness because people were taking their money. And because they were so down, depressed, and discouraged, they were drinking away their finances because they were so discouraged. And so he opened up a chocolate shop and perfected the art of making a drink called hot chocolate. Thank you, Jesus, for John Cadbury, okay? And he did it as an alternative for them spending their money on drink, hard drink. Yeah. Yeah. It was wildly successful and began to meet the need in the community. And after a number of years, his success grew to the point where he needed to build a factory. So he went outside of the city and he built a factory. Not only did he build a factory, but he bought enough land that he could build new housing for the people that were going to come work in the factory. And he did something in a phenomenal way, is that he developed a program whereby people could actually purchase the land, purchase the property. Because see, when you buy land, you break poverty. Okay? And you give ownership to the people. So he started putting ownership in the hands of the people. So he started breaking the spirit of poverty. Then out of that, he started having a voice to begin to address certain social injustices. Like, he was the one that led the charge to do away with sending the little 5 and 6 year old boys down the chimneys as chimney sweeps. Because their lungs were filling up and they were dying at an early age. He led the charge. He said, this isn't right. This isn't just. And because he was a man that had had a certain realm of success in meeting a need in the community, the government listened to his voice and shifted the law. Not only that, he's the one that is credited with moving us to a 5-day work week. Let's clap our hands for John Cadbury. Hallelujah. Because before that, they were working 6.5 days a week. But because God gave him a voice, he was able to shift some things. Not only that, in his day, he had the government of his region institute a ban on selling hard liquor for within 100 miles around his factory. And that ban remains today. Amen? However great or small, God is calling us to be people of influence, to see a need, to begin to address the things in our community that need to be shifted. How many business people do we have here? How many are maybe getting a vision for business? And understand that you're not just called to go work a job, you're called to work a positioning. Even if you're standing behind a counter as a clerk, God has called you there to bring the kingdom of God. If we look for the opportunities are there. Now, please don't go into your job where you're supposed to be working and spend all your time reading your Bible. That is not a good witness. But we can release the kingdom of God everywhere we go. We can begin to release the anointing that destroys the yoke everywhere we go. We can begin to be change agents everywhere we go. God wants to bring us into a place of mobilization. Amen? Now, let's look at what he did next. He took the salt and he threw it into the place where the curse was operating. How many know the curse is operating out in the kingdoms of this world? But my Bible says that their day is going to come where it will be proclaimed the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You know what that means? That means that the kingdoms of this world are going to submit to the kingdom of God. And if that's going to happen, it's going to be because you carry yoke-breaking, curse-destroying anointing into every aspect of society that you're living in. Amen? Now, let's look here. He went out and he cast the salt in there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word which Elisha spoke. Scripture tells us that life and death is in the power of our tongue. When we speak words that are negative, words that are dark, we're starting to line up to some things we don't need to line up to. We create an atmosphere over our life. We create an atmosphere over our city that demons love to come in and dwell. But when we start speaking faith, when we start speaking positive things, when we start speaking what God wants to say, when we start speaking God's purposes over our life, over our family, over our business, over our city, I'm telling you, it takes you off the grid of what's happening economically and politically and everything else, and it brings you into a superseding kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and you have a positioning in the heavens to begin to create your world with the words that you speak. You can literally speak words into the spirit that begin to shape what things look like. I don't think we've even begun to tap into the understanding of what Jesus said when he said, if a man will say to this mountain of opposition, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. He said, it will obey you. You've got power in your mouth. You've got power to bring change. You've got power to shift things in the heavens. And once things are shifted in the heavens, then it has an opportunity to shift in the earth. See, that's why the social gospel doesn't work. Understand, you can't just go do good deeds and expect to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God, because you can solve a few things for a little while on the earth, but it's only as we open the heavens and open the earth and connect heaven to earth by our words, by our prayers, by our declarations, by our decrees, then we see something that is sustainable. Because we don't want to just see something happen for a year or two. We want to see something that's sustainable generation to generation until Jesus returns. Job chapter 22, verse 28 says, you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. So light will shine on your way. Who's going to decree it? Say, I am.
I am.
As a matter of fact, the devil loves to write opposite decrees. The devil likes to write poverty or injustice or divorce or death or sickness. Or any of those kinds of things. He loves to write those kind of decrees over our life. But what we need to do is we need to learn to understand that those are decrees of darkness. We need to begin to prophesy and release the decrees of what God has said over our lives. That's why we've got to understand this word, because this word is filled with the promises of God. We've got to understand what God's promises, what God says is true. Let what God say be true and every man a liar.
That's right.
We've got to understand that we have the power through our mouth to see things shift. And it's not good enough just to believe it in your heart. You have to actually say it. Matter of fact, that's how we get saved. Right? If a man will confess with his mouth and believe in his heart, you got to believe in your heart, but you've also got to confess with your mouth. And as we confess, we have the power to create our world by the words that we speak. About a year and a half ago, we really saw this happening in our area. Our area, you may have even heard about it over here, because the south, southeast of the United States was in terrible, terrible drought. Do you guys remember hearing about that? I mean, our water tables were drying up. They were having to put a lot of people on water rations. They weren't allowed to run dishwashers or water their lawns or do a lot of these things because the water table was literally drying up and disappearing. And major cities like Atlanta and Birmingham and Charlotte, North Carolina, were in crisis mode because the water supply was running out. And our area of the panhandle of Florida was also in terrible drought. And we were having a lot of fires around the area because the drought was so bad. And it had been so dry for so long. We were getting ready to go into a major time of conference and gathering, and we'd been in a time of about 40 days of prayer and fasting and seeking the face of the Lord. And on the day that the conference was starting, I was praying and just seeking the Lord for our time of gathering, because I think that when God gathers people, it's got to be purposeful. God, what is your purpose? What is it that you want to see happen? And I heard the Lord say to me, he said, I want you to get up tonight and I want you to proclaim something. I want you to decree something. I want you to decree that this week God will send a drought-breaking rain on this land. And it will be a sign. For first I will break the drought in the spirit, and then I will break the drought in the natural. And how many understand that if we're going to have harvest, we've got to get drought broken. Amen. Right? Because the ground a lot of times is barren because there's a spiritual drought. And so I did what the Lord asked me to do. I got up that night and I prophesied. And I said, this week, the Lord says he's going to send a drought-breaking rain. Now, we hadn't had rain for months. And I'm saying, this week, God said he's going to send a drought-breaking rain. First in the natural, then in the spirit. And being the great woman of faith and power that I am, I immediately ran home to turn on the television set to watch the Weather Channel. See, I love the Weather Channel. You guys don't have like a Weather Channel here, do you? We have an entire channel that is 24 hours a day dedicated to weather. And I love it. I understand it's a sickness. I do understand that. But I love to watch the Weather Channel. I'm a meteorologist's daughter. My daddy was a weatherman. And so, I don't know, there's just something in my blood. My husband likes sports channels. And he'll come in and he'll change the Weather Channel and put on a sports channel, and I'll say, what are you doing? And he'll go, honey, it's like the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, I do understand this is a sickness, all right? But that night I was purposeful. I ran home and I turned on the television and they were going on and on how bad the drought was, how desperate the situation is, and there was no rain in sight. No rain in sight. And I had to say, but God said, but God said he was sending drought-breaking rain. The next day we got up, went to conference. That afternoon we had a break. I came home and I turned on the Weather Channel. And they said, some things are kind of changing in the upper atmosphere. And they said, don't anybody get excited, because there's probably only about a 10% chance that we'll get some rain. But see, what I heard is the story where Elijah's servant, where Elijah had prophesied the rain was ending, and Elijah's servant said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. That 10% I heard was the promise that God was releasing. Only about a 10% chance. And I said, but God said he's going to send drought-breaking rain. So that night when we came home from service, I turned on the weather channel. And we're kind of tracking this. And they say this. They said, it's amazing, but it actually looks like we're going to get some rain. There's a fast-moving front. It's going to sweep through the south. But they said this, but don't anybody get excited. This is not drought-breaking rain. They literally said that. And I said, oh, yes, it is. Come on, you know what? When God starts speaking something, we've got to keep ourselves in alignment with what God has said, because the enemy's going to be really faithful to send a different report. I want you to know something. The next morning, we woke up to the sound of pitter-patter on our windows, and it began to rain. Now, this fast-moving front stopped over us, and it stayed there for 28 hours. In 28 hours, we received 21 inches of rain. Now listen, when you live in Florida, you can actually handle that. Most other places, it would have been massive flooding. But in Florida, it's all sand, so it all just sifts down right into the water table. We were at a deficit of 21 inches. And in one day's time, we received 21 inches of rain. And the next day, the newspaper headlines read, drought-breaking rain soaks the panhandle of Florida. Amen? Now, I share that with you because we need to understand the power that has been put in our mouths. When God wants to do something, he looks for somebody on the earth that will begin to speak his purposes. He looks for somebody that looks past the natural and looks into the supernatural. He looks somebody that can look past the natural circumstances of the set course of life and say, things can be different. God has put the power in you and you and you and you to begin to shift things in the heaven to cause things to shift in the earth. And the purpose of this, it says, when he did that, when he released that decree, he said, there shall now no more be any death or barrenness. And the water remains healed until this day. It was sustainable. So I want us to stand up and we're going to do something. We are going to pray. I want to pray first of all for you. And then we are going to pray for this city. Amen? Because I believe, as I was praying this morning, I just believe that God has his eye on this city because of the intercession that and the praise and the faith that has come up from this place. And I feel like God wants to make this, not just this church, but this city, a beachhead for what he wants to do in this nation. And not only what he wants to do in this nation, but I believe what he wants to do in nations of the earth. I believe that God wants to make this city a resource city to London. God wants to make this city a resource city to government. He wants to make this city a resource city into the Lords of Parliament. You're going to actually find people of great political influence coming through your doors and saying, I just need you to pray for me. Come on, I believe that God wants to make this city a resource city. I believe God said that he wants to make this city a city of refuge, that people can come and find a place of safety here. Because a lot of things are going to shake. Let me just say, politically, economically, spiritually, in a lot of ways, the shaking is going to get worse before it gets better. But God says he wants to make Horsham a spiritual city of refuge, that people can run here and be safe. People can tune in on their internet and find a place of safety, find a place of rest. Come on, I'm not just saying this because we're here to say something. I'm saying it because it's the purposes of God over this place. God wants to establish this house as a house that is a fountain of living water. That is a fountain that begins to release the living water, the life of God, the life of Jesus, that abundant life. Jesus said, I've come not just so that you can have life, but so that you can have abundant life. The fullness of the promise God wants to release. And so I want you to lift up your hands all over this place. And Father, I decree, Lord, any place that the spirit of death or barrenness has been at work within the people of God, right now, Lord, we decree that there shall be no longer any death or barrenness. But the things that we put our hands to will bear fruit. And Lord, you are going to release that curse-destroying, yoke-breaking anointing upon each and every individual. Lord, just like Elisha prayed for his servant and said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Father, I pray for these people, Father God, that they will open the eyes of their spirit, that they will look past the natural, that they will begin to see into the supernatural. They will identify your purposes, and they will identify the enemy's curses and step in with authority to take the land. Father, I loose that impartation. I loose that impartation. Now, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, I want you just to begin to do that right now. Just begin to speak in other tongues. Shokotarabalaba, shikotololaba, shakata. Oh, shaka. Come on, you need to receive this fresh impartation. Receive this Elisha anointing. Receive the anointing of Jesus. The anointing of Paul. That sees cities shift and sees cities changed. Shoka barabaraba shata. Shota laba sata laba shata. In Jesus' name. Now I want us to shift and I want us to begin to decree over this city. All right, let's just begin to pray in the spirit over this city. And as God gives you something to decree out of your mouth, I want you to start decreeing it. Decree it over your neighborhood. Decree it over your community. Decree it over the streets that you drive on. Decree into areas where it's nothing but dry, dead bones. Begin to speak it by faith. Begin to create your world. Begin to create your world through the words that you speak right now in Jesus' name. We speak over this city. We decree it shall be a resource city. We decree it shall be a city of refuge. That churches will come alive. That revival will break out and sustain. We decree, Father God, that nations of the earth shall be touched. That businessmen and women will come alive to the purposes of God. Lord, we send the anointing for dreams and visions into the city government, into the city fathers, into the city leaders. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your kingdom come. Just say that with me. Let your kingdom come. Say it with me. Let your kingdom come. Say it again. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Here in Horsham, Lord. Just as it is in heaven. Lord, I believe you're shifting some things in the atmosphere. Lord, you're releasing a people of breakthrough. Lord, that are going to go through and beyond every place that the enemy has set up a defense. Father, we bless you in that. We bless you in that in Jesus' name. Now let's do this. You know, Jesus said, if I cast out devils, I do it by the finger of God. Just a finger. Okay? So I want you to point your finger. We're going to point it into the heavens. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin to pray in the Spirit. And as we pray in the Spirit, we're going to begin to make a circle. And we're going to make the circle bigger and bigger and bigger. And what we're doing It's just a prophetic act to say God's opening up the heavens over this place. Amen. And at the same time that God is opening up kingdom influence for the people of God over this place, all right? So if you're ready, we're going to go ahead and start. We're going to start small, and then we're going to begin to shout. We're going to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's actually just release a shout out of our spirit. Let's shout in the spirit right now. One, two, three. We shout unto God. We shout unto God right now. We shout with a voice of triumph. We shout with a voice of praise. Open up the heavens, oh God. Open up the heavens, oh God. Open the heavens. Open the earth. Open the heavens. Open the earth. Open your influence. Open your fresh mantles. Open up nations. Open up cities. Open them up by the anointing of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.